You tuned in to A Sure Thing, powered by Hollywood. Thanks for joining me, Ravaughan Smit, as we wrap up the weekend's racing action around the country. Sunday afternoon, racing is on the high fault. We're at Turfantine. We're on the inside track, and it's good to have you along for the preview of this 8-race programme that gets underway at 12:45. Not an easy card. I thought there are one or two races where we do have horses that stand out, that we could probably use as bankers, but by and large, we're really going to have to put on our thinking caps, put in as many as the budget allows, in fact, put in even more than the budget allows, take a bigger perm for a smaller percentage, and when everyone complains about the results, for example, small fields, did you see some of those results? You can say, you know what, I caught the pick six. That's the bragging rights you're looking for. You want to get on, 12:45 the off of the first race. That's when the exotics also kicks into gear on the tote. It's the first leg of the bipot, and race one has a field of 10 runners that will line up for this maiden plate for three-year-old fillies at the 1450-meter mark. Here we have a first-timer that is the favourite, and that's number 8, 1-2 Buckle My Shoe, from the stable of Candace Dawson. This one is the half-sister to Boogie Shoes, Shoemaker, Zapatella's Butt, to mention a few. Those are all hard-knocking individuals, and if 1-2 Buckle My Shoe is anywhere near any of them, will definitely make her presence felt in this race. There are others that I think we need to consider, one of those being number 7, Flying World. Very good improvement from first to second start, currently 3.33-1 in the antipost market. I like number 9, Ringer Ringer Roses. This one from the stable of Lucky Udalakas has got Craig Zaki on board, currently 3.57-1 in the antipose market, and that was very, very good improvement shown from first to second outing. Did it at long odds, but stayed on nicely in the closing stages, went third over this distance, and that was on the Vol Classic track, and the manner in which you finish off that day certainly tells me there's more to come from her, and I do think now her, having had all that experience, with further natural progress also still to come, she could be the one they all have to beat. So I'm going 9 Ringer Ringer Roses, ahead of 8 1-2 Buckle My Shoe, 7 Flying World, and 5 Comic Artist as my selections in race number 1. Race 2 jumps at 13:20. It's the opening leg of the Brace Accumulator. It is a maiden plate, a race for 3-year-olds, 9 runners to line up at the 1450-meter mark, and in the opening leg of the Place Accumulator, I'm going banker, number 7, One Eye on Vegas. Now, I distinctly remember this horse. When it made its debut, I made a point of phoning Team Hollywood just to double-check this horse's chances, and the comments from the Mike and Matthew de Cock stable were extremely positive, and I can see, based on those comments, the money came. This horse started in the red, is priced up in the red for Sunday's encounter. This horse would have certainly come on with the benefit of that one under the belt, and with any amount of natural improvement still to come, I do think should take a power of beating. So I'm going 7, One Eye on Vegas, ahead of 6, Indian Spice, 4, Errol Flynn, 1, Royal Jacket. We get to race number 3, which is the opening leg of the Pick 6. You need to be on by 13:55, a maiden plate where 10 runners will line up at the 2,000-meter mark. Not easy race 3, a race where you could make a case for at least 3 or 4 of them. Number 7, Asias Diarra, is a 3.03-1, along with number 10, Military Moves, at 3.03-1. 8 on an Impulse, 4-1. 5-1 about number 2, Gift of Royal. 7.1, 4-1, and upwards the others. I like number 7, Asias Diarra. This horse, if you look at a course record, ran 3 times, finished 2nd and 3rd, respectively. This horse has got good, solid form coming into this race, finished 5th in its penultimate, 4th last time, and I do think there's a little bit more to come from Asias Diarra. This horse stayed on nicely last time out. This time round, I think, will be doing her best work late in the closing stages. She's a filly that's taking on the boys, and I do think she can give them a good run for their money. So I'm going 7 Asias Diarra, ahead of 8 on an Impulse, 9 King of Silk, 10 Military Moves. Race 4 is leg 1 of Jackpot 1. 14:30 is the off-time race 4. And race 4 is also one of those races where you could make a case for quite a few of them. Number 1, Free in Seattle, is at 3.33 to 1, along with 7, Kissing Machine, at 3.33 to 1. Now these two renew rivalry, with Kissing Machine being 2 kilos better off at the weights with number 1, Free in Seattle. Another two that's also renewing rivalry is number 3, Avo on Toast, and 6, Future Date. There was 0.1 lengths in it. What was that? A nose. The last time the two of them met, and they meet on exactly the same weight terms, so we pretty much can expect the two of them to finish right alongside each other. I do think St. John Gray does have a very strong hand in this race. He's got a two-pronged approach, and it wouldn't surprise if either of them were to win, were it 1, Free in Seattle, or 6, Future Date. I must admit, I like Future Date. If you were to press me for which one of the two I like, Muzieni does know this horse exceptionally well, has got consistent form, and I think it is probably because this horse jumps from pole position, will have the run of the race, and Muzi will know exactly how much more to give from the saddle. So I'm going 6 Future Date, ahead of 3 Avant Toast, 1 Free in Seattle, and 7 Kissing Machine as the selections race number 4. Fifth race is a novice handicap, where 8 runners will line up at the 1200 meter mark, and yeah, I'm looking no further than the odds-on favourite, number 2, Stormy Days. From the stable, Arvian Janse van Vieren gets the services of Craig Zaki. This horse was super, super impressive when winning on debut. In fact, jump inwards, but quickly gathered stride, sat up with the pace, and then easing up at the line, jumps from pole position. So again, we'll have the run of the race. I do think with that run under the belt and that win under the belt, would have gained so much from the experience, and with any amount of improvement to come, certainly can remain unbeaten in this contest. I'm going 2 Stormy Days, 8 of 5 Blushing Bloom, 3 50 Ways, and 7 Merry Weather as my selections in race number 5. Sixth race of the afternoon is a merit-rated 84 handicap, where 9 runners will line up at the 1200 meter mark. Again, not easy. 1 ensuing is a 2.5 to 1. 6, The Last Duke at 2.86 to 1. 3.33 to 1. Number 5, Got the Feeling. 8, Alpha World, 4.55 to 1. And double figures and upwards bar those. What do we do? Where do we go? Race number 6 on the program. I'm going to be siding with Paul Matchett's runner, number 6, The Last Duke. I like the way that this horse ran last time out. First run out the maidens, ran an excellent race, finishing second, just getting outrun by a horse called It's Personal, and there was what? A short head in it when they hit the wire. I do think The Last Duke merits healthy respect in a race of this nature. Ideally course and distance suited. Comes from barrier position number 4, and I do think a repeat of that last run will certainly make The Last Duke competitive in a race of this nature. So I'm going 6, The Last Duke, 8 of 5, Got the Feeling, 1 ensuing, and 8, Alpha World as my selections in race number 6. Race 7, here we have a scratching. You can take out number 2, Destiny of Fire. Top of the boards, 9 runners are left to contest this merit rate at 92 handicap, over 1450 meters, his 9 Jinglebury at 2.5 to 1. Initially, I thought maybe that is the right one, but then I saw comes back after a 22-week layoff. I do think we'll probably need the outing. 3.33 about number 3, Except Cookies, and number 4, Palace Dancer, and you can get 6.25 to 1 and upwards the others. I like Tony Peters' runner, number 4, Palace Dancer. This horse is ideally distance suited for 3 runs, has run 2 seconds and a third. This horse has got solid recent form coming into this race. The only thing that does count against her is the fact that she's drawn in 10, but she'll no doubt drop out and will be picking them off one by one in the run to the wire. And she's also having her second run after a rest, so she should be cherry ripe for the occasion. So I'm going 4, Palace Dancer, to beat number 3, Except Cookies. For third, I'm going 6, Two-Step Queen, and 7, Mountain High. Final event on the programme, Race 8 jumps at 16:50. Race 8 is a merit rate at 84 handicap, where 10 runners will line up at the 14:50-metre mark. Not an easy end to the day. Yeah, you could probably make a case for at least 4 or 5 of them, and then keep fingers crossed that you've picked them correctly. We've got number 5, Chieftain Shield, at 4.55-1, along with 9, Sea Shanty, at 4.55-1. 5-1 about number 8, Guerrilla Warfare, 2 Big Unit, 6.25, along with 7, Super Awesome, 6.25-1. 7-1 and upwards bar those. As you can hear, they are priced up pretty much on top of each other. I like the horse that's got the good, solid, consistent form coming into this race, and that's St. John Gray's runner, number 8, Guerrilla Warfare. Serena Moodley takes the ride. This horse has got, as you can see, the nice form coming into the race. Loves to race up with a pace, so this horse will be there from the get-go. Jumps from stall gate 4, so the jockey will have options to either take up the running or sit up there just on the heels of the early speed. And I reckon if Guerrilla Warfare kicks away in the home straight, could be hard to peg back in the run to the wire. So I'm going 8, Guerrilla Warfare, to beat 9, Sea Shanty, 5, Chieftain Shield, and 7, Super Awesome. And that takes care of racing on Sunday afternoon at Turfantine on the Highveld. Trust you're going to have an enjoyable and profitable weekend's racing. Till next time, from me, Ravon, you take care. Cheers for now.